All righty, good morning. Let's get the rolling here today. We're going to continue on our series on the Holy Good Ghost. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how important He is in our life. A lot of times people just kind of, you know, go right past Him and they kind of forget about, you know, His presence here upon this earth. We might get a little touch when we're singing or something, you know what I mean? Get them little goosebumps, but the Holy Ghost is more than goosebumps. Amen? There's so much more that we need to learn from Him. And, you know, to me, it's all about freedom. I don't know about you, but I used to be bound in sin. And sin was dominating my life. And then when I came to Christ, then I really learned what it was about to be free. And to me, freedom's more than just a thought or buying a t-shirt, you know, but it's a way of life. And that's what we need to bring it, because the world system that we live in wants to put us down, and the Holy Spirit wants to pick us up. And I found that, you know, the idea of the law of sin and death that rules upon the earth until a higher law comes and overcomes it. And we're going to look at that today a little bit. See, that would be the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which operates in our life if we allow it. You know, have you ever been unaware of something, and then all of a sudden it just dawned on you, and now all of a sudden it's just kind of like a new set of tools you have, you know? And that's really what it's like when we come to know the Holy Spirit, you know, in a deeper way, and we start to give Him credit. Okay, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 2 to 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 to 6. And it says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank You for clarity of mind and purpose, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. I thank You we take authority over chaos, any of the storms of life that try to distract us. Lord, I thank You for no distraction here today. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how many like laws? Some laws are okay, right? But some laws aren't as good, right? We may not like them, especially one law is speed zones, right? They're okay until you break one. And then you don't like that law no more. But if you live on a street where cars are driving too fast, you don't want your kids to get hurt, you like that law. See, it's all based on your perspective. And, you know, we need to learn how to respect laws because they're important. And one law that I really respect a lot, well, I respect a few of them, but I respect the law of gravity. I don't know if you guys have ever had to deal with that law. You know, my daughter and I, several years ago, we wanted to go skydiving, and so we jumped out of a plane together. And that was kind of cool, but boy, you really think about things as you're climbing, and the plane just wasn't that handy. You know what I mean? You get the smell of diesel. I mean, it was not a premier plane, you know, but, you know, it was just kind of the wind was going like this, and you're going up there, and you're looking around, and the door's open, and about 10 or 12 of us in there just kind of looking at each other, not knowing sure exactly what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden they say, "Hey, it's time to jump." And, you know, I'm strapped to a man, you know. I mean, kind of weird, you know. And we're crawling over towards the hole like this. He's kind of carrying me, and I got my feet up. He said, "Pick your feet up." I said, "Okay." Then we go over, and then we turn around and jump out backwards. And that split second of when you leave that plane, it's just different. It's just totally different. You think, all of a sudden, a thought goes, "Am I stupid?" You know what I mean? Because I know what gravity is. You know, gravity's been a large part of my life. You know, I climb up a lot of ladders and stuff. And I've learned that what goes up must come down. And sometimes when we come down hard. And fortunately, and then all of a sudden, I mean, when we jumped out of that plane, it was just really fast. And I mean, you're just flying. You don't really know where you're at. You're out of sorts. And all of a sudden, we hit a little cloud. And when you hit the cloud, all of a sudden, you have a point of reference. And then it feels like you're going faster. About then, the parachute came open. Big jerk, you know. Then you knew it was going to be okay. You know, gravity had been overcome because a parachute defeated gravity there for us. It helped. I mean, even though we was still going down, it definitely slowed us down. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, going up and down a ladder a lot, sometimes you get a little careless and, you know, all of a sudden you just kind of, you know, can, you know, I've rode a couple ladders down. You know, at the last second I jump, you know, and try to make a landing better. It works sometimes, not all the time. You know, a lot of you probably think I'm very dangerous. I am sometimes. You know, I do some dangerous things in life. The reason why I wanted to jump out of an airplane before I turned, what was it, 60 I was shooting for? Because I have had a $1 million life insurance policy on myself. That was going to expire on September the 15th. And so I made sure I jumped, you know, in August. You know, I was thinking of my wife, you know, and family, you know. Something, you know, hey, $1 million is $1 million, right? You know, something, I mean, it's better than jumping and not getting nothing. You know what I'm saying? At least they'd maybe, you know, put a little monument around here somewhere, something for me, maybe, I don't know. In honor of crazy man, yeah, there you go. But one thing about lift, or about gravity, amazes me is the law of lift. See, certain laws can override other laws. Now, if you look at a jet airplane in your right mind, do you really think that plane can get off the ground? I mean, it's just huge, and it weighs a lot. And you know, and what amazes me too is them steel ships that float on the ocean. I mean, every time I throw a piece of metal in the water, it goes down. You know, there's some things that we just don't understand. But one thing that I want us to see today is the law of lift can overcome gravity. And without going into too much science, because I confuse myself, you know, somehow the pressure on top of the wing is less than the bottom, and that's what helps it go up. And then you have the force. You got to have some force. You got to have some speed, right? If you don't have enough speed, you're not going to get off the ground. There's a good story of that in life. You know, we got to have some momentum in life. We have to be moving, and you know that jet, you know, just gets off the ground and it starts to go. And you know, you know, just like many of you, have ridden on a jet, and it's just amazing just how them things kind of get to going. But, you know, one thing about the law of lift is that gravity still is in effect. We live in a world where the law of sin and death is still in effect. Even though we're a Christian, even though you and I should be operating by the law of the Spirit and law of life in Christ Jesus. See, that's the way that we overcome. Just as a plane, you know, gets going down the runway and things kind of go how they're supposed to go, all of a sudden that big old plane just takes off. And see, that's what it needs to be in our life. There's things that go on in our life. There's things that try to drag us down and to try to curse our identity and put us down. But I want to tell you today that there's a holy good ghost that can help us rise above those circumstances. Those things that operate in our life that try to hold us down. And it's always trying to keep us, you know, away from God's best. And, you know, and that's, to me, that's what gravity is like. It's like the law of sin and death. And, you know, and as long as we're living on this earth until Jesus comes, you know, then things are going to change. But until then, you and I got to learn how to deal with that. You have to learn how to deal with the devil, right? The devil's real. Sure, as God's real, the devil's real. So how do we deal with that stuff? What is the devil trying to do in our life? What he's trying to stop us. He's trying to hold us back. And, you know, one thing that, you know, I love knowing is that we can always overcome gravity with lift, and that we can always overcome the law of sin and death with the law of the Spirit of life. Works every time. Every time. It'll never fail us. What happens is when we don't start to flow with God's Spirit, how we're supposed to learn these things. And it takes a little bit of effort on our part to want to flow with Him and the things that we have to do. And, you know, the law, the spirit of life, it's a life-giving spirit. See, that's what says Christianity. Like we've always said, apart from all of the religions, you know, they all believe the Holy Spirit, or their idea of a spirit, is a force or a power. But we know Him as a person, the third person of the Trinity. And as we give Him credit, as we give Him reverence in our life, we start to understand just what it is, what it's all about, why it was to our advantage that Jesus went away and He sent His Spirit, as we looked at that when we started this series. So the point I want to look at next is how we set our mind, it says here. Now, I don't know about you, but we tend to gravitate towards what we focus on, right? Whatever you're focused, like if you're driving down the road and you take your eye off the road, have you ever kind of looked off to the right and then all of a sudden your car starts to go to the right? Why? Because our focus is on that. And we start to head that way. And you know, what we focus on is very important in life. Technically, it's our responsibility as a human being and as a follower of Christ to choose what we focus on. Now, you know, if we focus on things that are bad for us, things that try to hold us back in life, things that try to bring destruction to our life, maybe some of our old ways. Have you ever started looking at your old ways? You know, things that used to, you know, drag you down and you thought they were bad enough to walk away from, but now all of a sudden we're looking back at them because we think there's something there. There's nothing, there's no there there. You know what I mean? If there was there there, we wouldn't have left there. Right? We're heading towards Jesus now. And the law of the spirit of life. And, you know, when we choose to, you know, operate by God's principles, God's things that He has put in power here on this earth, there's a lot of them. You know, seed time and harvest. You don't get a harvest unless you plant a seed. Well, if you go steal somebody's harvest, that's another way. But we shouldn't steal somebody else's harvest, right? So there's certain things that are in operation, and the law of spirit of life, when Jesus left this planet and sent the Holy Spirit, He left that life-giving spirit to be a part of our life. He has the power to regenerate, to bring life again when there was death. And as we start to flow with that, and we start to understand God's principles and God's ways, then we start to see our lives changed. And so we need to choose, you know, what we think about. See, the enemy wants to control our thought life, because if he controls our thought life, he controls our direction. He controls our direction. And we don't want to follow his direction. Have you ever got directions from somebody that, you know, you knew was the wrong way? You know, when we was in Greece doing missionary work, some of the Greeks, they didn't want to appear stupid to a foreigner, so if you asked them for a direction, even if they didn't know, they would tell you a direction. You know what I mean? That's just how they rolled. And so, me with my lightning quick intellect, I'd ask three. And if two out of three said the same way, I was hoping that was the right way. You know what I mean? And just like if I go to Menards, you know what I'm saying? I ask two or three people. I just don't ask one, because you never know, that might be their first day. They don't know. You know, what's going on. So I want to ask a question. What would you consider today to be the ruling thoughts in your life? What is it that you think about the most? It's a good question. What do we think about the most? Think about your day. Think about the things that are going on in your life. Think about when you have idle time. What is the predominant thought? Do we focus on our inadequacy? You know, what we lack, how we just don't measure up to other people. And if we focus on that lack, maybe, you know, we don't have enough resources, and that happens, doesn't it? How many has limited resources every now and then? It's just part of going through this battle sometimes. But see, what happens is we focus on that lack, that's just going to consume us. We're going to make our God really small. You know what I mean? Have you ever made God really small? When we start to doubt God's ability in our life is when we make him small. That's when we limit his power from flowing in us and through us and to us, because those faith-limiting thoughts, those thoughts that, you know, try to displace our faith and get us to walk away and not maybe follow through. You know, sometimes we might feel like nobody cares. This happens. You know, maybe you get in a situation and you get in the Debbie Downers and, you know, things ain't going right. Dog run away, whatever, you know. And then it just seems like everybody's busy. It happens. Nobody checks on you, you feel. Nobody cares. And so you get that nobody cares, and then you start to get into the depression and discouragement. You know, all these things kind of happen. Why? Because we're focusing on that. We're focusing on what we don't have. No matter if you just have a little, if you focus on what you have, it'll start to bring you out of that. That's how it works. Amen. It just works that way. And we start to be thankful. And we start to walk into victory. And you know, the idea that, you know, that I'm not good enough, I never will be, you know, that's going to hold us in bondage for a long time till we learn how to get free from it. See, a negative thought life will lead us to self-destructive tendencies. See, that's what a negative thought life will do. And that's why it's important, you know, that we overcome that, because, you know, I've talked about this every now and then. I know a little bit about it, but it's not my wheelhouse. You know, our neural pathways in our brain, I hear it from different preachers, different people talking. It's in books. It was even in the 21 Days of Prayer, one of the guys spoke on it. The idea of how our brain and the way it's wired, that if we get to thinking along a certain way, if we think on something long enough, it starts to make a pathway, and that we can go to that thought quicker. And the idea that negative thoughts are more predominant in our life than positive ones. You know, I lived on a farm, and you've heard me mention, you know, about the old cow ruts, right? Them old cows, for whatever reason, they walk the same path. And before you know it, they can have a rut maybe that deep out in the field. And, you know, it's okay as long as you go with them, but you go across that rut, kaboom! You know you hit something. And see, those thought patterns, maybe you have trouble with negativity in your life. Maybe that people in your life have spoken death over you so many times that you believe that death. They say that you're never going to make it. You're just like so-and-so. You're never going to amount to nothing. And those thoughts keep coming in your mind, and the more that you think along those thoughts, boom, you just go there quicker. And that's what started this is years ago. It started to talk about pornography and how that has an effect on the human mind, and how, you know, once you do pornography, that your mind can just go there quicker and quicker because it's got those neural pathways made. Well, I'm here to tell you that we know the spirit of regeneration, and that's the Holy Ghost. That can rewire our minds. It can make new pathways, but we have to want to. It comes by setting our mind on things, the things that we're supposed to be thinking about. And when we do that, then we start to see some freedom start to manifest in our life, because once you and I get in a rut, we tend to stay in that rut. It's just so easy. It's just so easy. But like I mentioned, thank God for the Holy Ghost, because, you know, we just need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, it says in that passage, right? So if we set our mind on something, then we can start to gravitate towards it. And then we can start to get a good rut, if there is a good rut, right? I think having a good prayer life is a good rut. I think reading the Word of God every day is a good rut. Amen. I think being faithful to church is a good rut, amen, you know? And wanting to serve God and to help other people is a good rut. All those things we need to set our mind on. You know, it's not about, and really it takes more than just thinking about it. You know, I know some of my failings in marriage, I maybe had one. No. But I used to think about doing something nice, but I didn't follow through and do it. So in my mind, I got credit. I didn't get credit. You know what I mean? Because I didn't follow through. So it takes more than being a hearer of the Word of God. Sometimes that's the Bible says we've got to be a doer of the Word of God and start to follow through with those things. And really the benefit, it says, is life and peace. Think about that. Amen. As you get older, you like more peace. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just like it quiet. You know, I don't need a lot of chaos in my life anymore. You know, it happens. But see, one thing that you and I have to remember, the one mission of the Holy Spirit that He will always do is the Holy Spirit will always lead us to freedom, okay? So if we start to follow the Holy Spirit, no matter which way we go, what we do, His primary goal is to lead you to freedom, to get you free. Get you free from the law, sin, and of death, all the old life. Even though, yes, we're born again, but yet until we go to be with Jesus, you know, we're not going to see those things, you know, totally just be 100%. That's why we got to fight the good fight of faith. And so the power of the Spirit, like the power of lift, the power of lift defies gravity. The power of the Spirit defies the law, sin, and death. That we don't have to be held down anymore. You know, a lot of times, you know, we want to soar like an eagle, but we feel like a turkey. You know what I'm saying? You know, we want to, you know, what was it? Miller, whatever his name, fly like an eagle, you know, that old song. But maybe some of you guys probably don't know who that is. I can't even remember his name. Steve Miller Band, wasn't it? Can't remember. But anyway, you know, we want to fly like an eagle. We want to rise above the circumstances, rise above the storms, be in that place of peace, that peace that Jesus came to give us. Amen. It only comes by following the Holy Ghost. And what happens with this idea of the power of regeneration, you know, if we let the Holy Spirit come into our situation, He's going to bring regeneration. And where there was death, there is now life. You know, where you maybe thought you weren't good enough, now you know you are. He's going to totally turn around your thinking. He will never cut you down. The Bible says there's no condemnation. He will never condemn you. He will never put you down. He will never be the voice that tries to tear you apart. He's always wanting to pick you up. He's always wanting you to rise above the occasion and start to walk in your destiny, the destiny that Jesus Christ has for his people. See, our will, see, we have to will so, right? We have a human will. God will never take your will away, you know? God wants you to will to follow Him. And see, what happens is, you know, our will follows the dominant interest of our mind. What interests you? Is it the things of God? That's a valid question. To me, we just need to be more interested in the Holy Spirit. We wake up every day, Holy Spirit, lead me today. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the things I need to know. Holy Spirit, take control of my life. You know, help me not to follow the voice of a stranger, but only the voice of the shepherd. Many voices out in this earth, right? They're telling you all these things. They tell you that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But we need to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, see, then we start to focus on Him, and then we start to gravitate towards the things that He wants us to do. And so we just need to be more interested in Him. And, you know, some people, you know, if they'd have told me this when I was unsaved, I'd have thought they was wacko. Yeah, I am crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. Glory to God. You can put that on my tombstone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how serious it is. You know, I don't care what the world thinks. The world is nothing. You know, like an old James Bond movie, the world is not enough. You know what I'm saying? I tried the world. It was lacking. There's nothing lacking in the kingdom of God. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Which brings me to my last point, the idea of freedom in the Spirit. You know, how we need to walk in that level of freedom that the Holy Spirit, you know, wants to do for us. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is always wanting to lead you to freedom. You know, sometimes, like, you know, we talked about last week, sometimes, you know, God brings discipline to our life, right? You know, not in a bad way. He'll never beat you with a rod, you know, or things like that. And, you know, it's not masochism where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, He just hurts us, you know. He'll teach us with the Word. And I'll be honest, the Word can be convicting, can't it? I know that's not a word. I apologize. I just made it up, can't it? But anyway, it can be that way, you know. And when he brings correction. I remember when I first got saved, you know, and I backpacked around Europe before I got saved, and that was my last hoorah or ho, oh no, whatever it was. And anyway, I remember seeing the Statue of David, and you know, it's amazing that that just started with a block of stone. But the master knew which part to take away so you could get the beautiful statue. And see, God knows what to take away in our life to get to what's on the inside. He knows what pieces to take off. And it was kind of a little painful in the beginning because I was kind of a, you know, I hate to admit, I was kind of a male chauvinist in some ways, in a lot of ways probably, and just the way things rolled with me, I guess. And, you know, it was kind of humbling when God would break, you know, deal with things in my life. But see, it was the Holy Spirit leading me to freedom, getting rid of some of the things that was holding me back, things that were holding me, you know, in bondage in my life. And, you know, I didn't think they was that bad, but God knew they were bad for me. And so, see, the Holy Spirit will lead us to freedom. He will never lead us to religion. He will never lead us to religion, because religion will bring death. See, the problem with organized religion is that they've organized God out of it. You know what I mean? They've organized God out of it. And we need to be to the persuasion that more of God is better. It's not about man's rules or regulations. It's about what God's grace can do in our life. You know, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Are we going from glory to glory, people? We are. It's glory to glory. When we let God take control of our life and we start to allow Him to get rid of some of the things, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You know, and you start to really mean it and you start to follow Him, you know, then all of a sudden you're going to start to see the transformation take place of allowing God to manifest through our life and just watch what He can do through you. You know, first He does it to you, then He does it through you. But you got to let Him do it to you. Amen. If you want Him to do it through you. And as we do that, we start to walk in that glory. And see, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty is freedom. That we don't have to be somebody we're not ever again. We don't have to reinvent ourselves and try to be something to other people so that they will love us. No, all we have to do is be who God's called us to do.
Amen.
That's good enough. We don't have to measure up by somebody else's tape measure. Throw the tape measure away. It's by grace. It's by the God's love in our heart. And as we start to follow Him and we don't care what anybody else thinks, we just care what our Father thinks. And then we start to walk in that level of freedom because we want that liberty. See, now as a Christian, we have a new... I thought the song had started. Time to quit. Pull the plug. Yep. It says, you know, as a Christian, we have a new power working in us to overcome that power of sin and death. And that's the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to challenge you. As you get to know Him, you're going to be able to do things that you never thought you could ever do.
Thank you.
He's going to work through you in ways you never thought He ever would.
Thank you.
But as we do it, we got to step out a little bit. You know, we got to step into our new destiny. You know, what He's called us to do. It's the power of the Spirit. And when the power of the Spirit starts to work through you, and you start to experience that freedom, you know, no telling where God's going to take you. See, we're free from condemnation. You know, I used to feel a little condemnation in my life because, you know, I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew some of the words of death that were spoken over me as a child, some things that were said that kind of tried to put me in a mold, you know, and so I couldn't break that mold. But see, when I met Jesus and I started to get into the Word of God and I started to, you know, it talks about that mirror there. See, the Word of God's like a mirror, and we start to see that, and then we start to see, you know, who God says we are. You know, it totally changed my total perspective on what God was all about. You know, I thought God was just about control. No, really, God is about freedom. He's about setting us free and getting us to be everything He's called us. And one thing we have to understand is getting to know the Holy Spirit, that He won't drive us like cattle, but He'll lead us like sheep. See, we were more of a rancher when I was growing up. I mean, we would try to lead the cows every now and then, but it took a bucket of corn. You know what I mean? And sometimes they'd come, sometimes they didn't. So my job was to get behind them. And I would go back and forth, and I would keep pushing. Just keep pushing. You apply pressure to the rear, and they have to go forward. And even if they didn't want to go that way, I would force them to go that way. And it was a lot easier when I got a four-wheeler, I'll guarantee you that, you know. Dad took out all the fences back there in the 40s, and when I first moved back from Denver, you know, oh my Lord, back there chasing those cows, and they was all spread out, and oh, I thought I was going to die several times, you know, just couldn't get them to go. They didn't want to go, and I couldn't run them down on foot. We got the four-wheeler, that's a game changer, you know. I got behind them and they had to go. But see, the Holy Spirit's not like that. He's not going to drive us like that. The Holy Spirit's going to go ahead of us, and he wants to lead us and try to coax us along, because He wants our will to be engaged with His will, to follow Him. And then when we do that, then we start to go and things start to really change. We start to grow fast. And what I found out is, you know, is that we have to put ourselves in a position of position to receive. It's our responsibility, but you know, we also need to quiet ourselves down, because chaos, confusion will make it harder to hear the Spirit's leading. You know, I just want to throw it out there. Are you too busy? Are you trying to do too many things? You know, just think about it. Do you know how to quiet yourself down? You know what that means? You just get quiet. You start to try to connect with your Father. You know, there's something to think about. Now, winding this up is that the ways that He's going to lead us, I want to give a couple of these before we close. Number one, He'll lead us through the Word of God. If you don't read the Bible, it's harder. Almost impossible. Because how can you know what spirit it is? See, the spirit, there's a spirit of the world that's trying to lead us too. But see, you don't have to know the whole Bible, you just got to know enough. And if you pay attention long enough and you start reading it, you're going to start to get it.
Amen.
You know, I've had people tell me, well, I don't like reading. Well, you like breathing, don't you? I mean, come on, you got to read. You know, ask God to help you. Best prayers I've ever prayed in my life is when I'm not doing something and I know I want to, I ask God to help me to do it. God, help me to want to get up and pray. Oh, by golly, He'll answer that prayer. God, help me to want to read the Word. Well, by golly, You help me want to read the Word. It's funny how He answers those kinds of prayers. God, give me a Cadillac. Dang. You know what I mean? You know? No, I don't want a Cadillac. I want a new F-150, praise God. No, I'm just kidding. But see, He'll lead us through the Word. Through the Word. So read the Bible. Number two, the inner witness. Now, I'm kind of falling back on last week a little bit and wrapping this up. Remember Romans 8:16, that the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. Okay? This comes by developing our spiritual sensitivity. Okay? And you feel that witness on the inside, that it's God, that it's the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit about something. And if you're a husband and wife, sometimes you can confirm these things. You know, I'll be honest with you, and this is going to scare some of you, because we're not going to take up another offering. Of course, we haven't really taken one up. We just leave the stuff out. But when I first became a Christian, my primary goal is I wanted to hear from God. For whatever reason, I wanted to. I wanted to learn how to follow His voice. It just was so important to me. I don't know why. So how I started is that I would try to hear a number, this is before I started tithing, I would try to hear a number from God of what I was supposed to give. And then they would confirm that number somehow from the pulpit. They would mention that number, you know. And that's how I started to learn to hear from God. Yeah, it was expensive, but not that bad. But it was worth every minute of it and worth every dime. Because I wanted to hear from God. Because if he's the creator of the heavens and the earth, learning to hear from him, I felt was going to help me in life, and it has. So that's just one way you can do it. But to feel that witness, and then you just kind of check these things out. You know, sometimes you get that witness not to go do something or to do something. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. We need to learn that spiritual sensitivity, and you do that, and it's going to take some trial and error. You're going to miss it. But I'd rather try learning than just sit there and nothing happening, right? So just try it. You know, spirit, soul, and body. I'm not going to go into this, but you know, we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, right? Well, most of the time we focus on our body. We feed that thing 3+ times a day, right? Want to make sure it feels good. Then we buy expensive stuff to make it look good, right? You know, how much is that makeup? Say, what? You know, you ever caught the price on some of that stuff? That's like gold, putting gold on your body. You might as well just, you know, but we focus on our body. Well, then our soul, we don't want to be stupid, so we try to be smart. But then we forget about our spirit man. You know, I try to get people, I know some people that just, you know, they're just not faithful to God. They get overwhelmed very easy. They're always down and, it's just the world. It's because they don't come to church and they don't read their Bible and they don't pray. They think taking a nap's going to help them. Hey, I'm not against naps. I ain't going to lie to you. But your spiritual life is malnourished. And when we start to feed that part of us, it's going to affect the rest of our life. And we see that. And the reason why it's important, see, when you're born again, your spirit comes alive again to God. Well, God, what is God? God's a spirit. We have a spirit. So God's spirit will witness with our spirit. Okay? It helps a lot to be born again. Can God speak to us when we're unsaved? Yes, God leads us and guides us. He tries to get us to come to Christ, but it's a whole lot easier and a whole lot better when you're born again, because the Bible says you cannot perceive the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So that's why getting born again is first step. Got to get that right. Then we start to learn and find out how God communicates with us. Next is the still small voice of conscience. Romans 9:1 says, I am telling the truth in Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the voice of conscience. That's how God will speak to us sometimes and lead us and guide us by his Spirit. So we have a conscience. You know, have you ever maybe inadvertently said something that hurt somebody and you get that icky feeling? Well, that's your conscience. That means, you know, you need to apologize or whatever, make it right. And so that's another way that Holy Spirit. And then next is the voice of the Spirit. This is more strong. Remember Samuel, when he was being called by God, he was laying in bed and Holy Spirit spoke to him and he kept thinking it was Eli. And then finally Eli told him just, hey, it's not me. Just listen, God's trying to talk to you. And that's a stronger unction. And that maybe doesn't happen as much, but it can. You know, I know there's times I'm praying. It's kind of weird. God will do certain things. All of a sudden a word will come to me or a noise or a sound. And, you know, I know it's God trying to speak to me about something. And so all these things are just part of the Christian walk if we want to open ourselves up to them. And I encourage you to challenge yourself, you know, to get closer, you know, to the things of the Spirit, because it's a holy calling that we have. And I believe the only way we can walk in holiness is to walk by the power, of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. So that kind of concludes the idea of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to meditate on that passage. And a lot of people sometimes don't realize the battle that we're in down here, the things that are going on in life. It's a spiritual conflict, people. There is a devil, and there are demons. There are things that's trying to hold us back and stop you from getting to the place God wants you to be. And see, we have to use the law of lift to overcome gravity, and we have to use the law of the spirit of life to overcome sin and death in our life. And every time you work, the Holy Spirit works every time. Anytime we want to walk in the Spirit, we win.
Amen.
We overcome.
Thank you.
We defeat that enemy. Amen?
Yes.
All right, let's close in prayer. And hallelujah.